stay hydrated with the best water, positivity alkaline water. I mean, what's better than not only living in positivity, but drinking positivity as well? Positivity is a Black-owned water distribution company that can be delivered right to your doorstep every single month. Visit positivitywater.com and remember, not only think positive, but drink positivity as well. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Culture Effect Podcast Show. I have a special guest here with us today. We have Norfolk State University graduate, Mr. Lyndon Trail. So we're going to talk all things about his HBCU experience, his time in the NFL, and a few other things. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. A little bit of a clip of the band, the Spartans at Norfolk State.
Shout out to Spartan Legion.
So what's going on? How you doing today, Lyndon?
Man, I can't complain. I actually just finished up watching Norfolk State football get their first gear practice in. Boys are looking pretty good. Hopefully they're ready for a nice little run. I'd like to say that the MEAC's probably ours. So for everybody else in the MEAC, watch out for them boys, especially Juwan, who's our quarterback, cat special, man. He's actually on the brink of breaking Aaron Sparrow's record. And if anybody knows who Aaron Sparrow is, you know, he's a very prestigious quarterback that played here at Norfolk State as well. So that's a pretty big deal.
I love it. Okay, we'll get into a little bit of football a little bit later on, but let's start at the beginning. So give us, before we get into Norfolk State, give us a little bit of your background and what led to your decision to attend Norfolk State University.
Okay, well, my story's kind of odd, honestly. I'm originally from Miami, Florida, in Overtown, raised by a single parent. Just my mom, the youngest of four boys. And originally coming out of high school, I had 75 scholarships for football, so ended up going to the University of Florida. My freshman year, I understood initially from the jump that I was too small to play in the SEC. I was maybe 190 pounds soaking wet. And from there, I knew I was going to have to redshirt. So I spent my first year redshirting, gaining weight, doing everything that my coaches told me to do. And then there was a coaching change. Urban Meyer ended up leaving, and Will Muschamp became the coach. Me and him kind of didn't see eye to eye. Did everything he asked me to do, but things just didn't work out in my favor. So I requested a transfer. At that point in time, there was no transfer portal. So it wasn't just as easy as getting up and leaving a school and going somewhere else. You actually had to request it, and the coach had to accept the place you wanted to transfer to. So at that point in time, Ohio State just hired Urban Meyer as a coach. And in my mind, I was like, well, I'm gonna go to Ohio State. And any and everywhere I wanted to transfer to, he ended up blocking it. So it came down to where it was like, I didn't wanna miss another year of football. I wasn't gonna do that. And I started talking to my pastor. And, you know, he reminded me of, you know, where home is. He was like, hey, you know, initially he told me, hey, you need to go to FAMU because he's a FAMU graduate. And, of course, it was like the recruiting process all over again. I started taking trips. I went to Bethune. I took a visit there. I went to FAMU. I took a visit there. But when I got to Norfolk State, the difference with Norfolk State was Pete Adrian was the coach. And he ended up telling me, I can't make you any promises. Now, a former five-star recruit, that is making his way around to HBCUs is a pretty big deal to a lot of coaches, but he was the only coach that told me, I'm not going to promise you anything. You know, whatever you do as far as work or put work in order to get out is what you'll leave here with. And that was a little different as opposed to all the other coaches who was like, yeah, man, you come here, you'll be a starter, you'll do this, you'll do that. I've always been the guy that didn't want to hand out. So that kind of impressed me. Honestly, my first impression of Norfolk State when I got here, coming from a Miami boy, remember, I'm from Florida. I got off the plane, it was late December, and initially I was like, there's no way I'm coming here. It was cold as I don't know what, and I was not used to this weather. No one was on campus, unfortunately, and immediately I was like, man, well, what do y'all do around here? So instead of a player hosting me like everybody else did, a coach had to host me. But the thing is, the coach was also from Miami, so we had ties. My mother, who's a very spiritual person, was like, look, you know, my spirit takes to this school. I think you should go there. I think it's a good place for you. You need to get out of state of Florida. It was the decision that I will never, ever regret. Actually, the best decision of my life was coming to a HBCU. Honestly, to tell you guys the truth, and I don't want y'all to look at me weird or think, oh, this guy's crazy when he says that. But the area from where I'm from is so closed-minded that they think if you don't go to a major D1 school, there is no shot of going to the NFL. There is no shot of playing at the next level. In their minds, you might as well just get your degree and, you know, go get you a job. But what I discovered over time was that was the lie that they were selling. You know, scouts are paid to find talent. Doesn't matter where it's at. If you're good, they'll find you. So this is a message outside of this story to everybody else that's grinding, playing some type of sport, that wants to play at the next level. And keep doing your thing. Just work hard and they'll find you. Trust me. But to get back to the story, I ended up committing to NSU, and I did exactly what my coaches asked me to do. They was like, look, you work hard, you do what you're supposed to do in the classroom, and in no time, you know, if you want to get to the next level, it'll happen. So three seasons later, I was a three-time All-American, the second in Norfolk State history behind the great, the legend, Terrell Whitehead, the first ever to be accepted into the Senior Bowl, 2013 National Defensive Player of the Year, which is actually the first ever in Norfolk State history as well. So the camaraderie and just being around people that look like you, honestly, was a different type of feeling. There's no knock on the predominantly white institutes. There's no knock on PWIs at all. But to be around your own is just a different feel. To understand that there are people that look like you that are grinding to be successful in life. It's just a wonderful feeling.
Yeah. No, I love that. You touched on a lot of good points that you said a lot of people think, which I think is slowly starting to, you know, go away. But a lot of people think that if you don't go to the larger PWI institutions as an athlete, you can't get recruited to, you know, the NFL or the NBA, things like that. And what we're seeing is that that's just simply not true. I mean, you're a testimony of it, and so many other athletes who have come from HBCUs that have gone on to do great things in, you know, the major league. So, yeah.
Definitely. The piggyback off that, you got to look at the cats like Tariq Cohen, my boy Darius Leonard, who just signed a massive deal for the Colts. He's actually the highest paid middle linebacker and well in the league at this point in history, honestly. And he's a HBCU product, a MEAC product, South Carolina State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just posted him too, and I'm like, wow, like this is, you know, like to see that, like you say, number one, he comes from an HBCU and, you know, black guy, and he's the highest paid, like that right there alone is to be, you know, like, wow, like if he was able to do it, then definitely I can do it too. So and so, you know, your story of even getting to Norfolk State, it's like you had a lot of things that happened in between. You almost went to, you said, FAMU at first. And
some don't tell nobody that.
It's okay. But you know, you landed at Norfolk State. And so let's get into your experience while at Norfolk State. So first of all, tell us, what is the yard like? Because I've never been to Norfolk State. I went to Tuskegee. So what is the yard?
Oh, Lord. It's different here. I mean, it's kind of crazy. I am a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, so I am a noob. But the thing is, I was really, like, I knew about fraternities. You know, the crazy part is I've been influenced by noobs all my life. I just never really looked into it until I got to a HBCU. It really wasn't big on Florida's campus like that. But at least I don't remember seeing any any black fraternities, I'll say, they had a fraternity roll, which none of the black fraternities or sororities had houses there. So it was kind of confusing. I just thought, you know, maybe these were houses that belonged to some other people. But as I came into the HBCU culture, I started to learn a lot about fraternities, what they were about, working in the community, things of their sort, their values, their beliefs. So it kind of attracted me immediately. And it was like, well, you know, I'm not going to sit here and knock any other fraternities. I just know mine is the best in the land. It is what it is.
I got you. You know, and that's, you know, I'm a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, so I could be a little bit biased. I love my brothers, my Phi Beta Sigma brothers, but I got you. But no, so and let's get into that too, though. You're like, you being a member, you coming off the yard, Norfolk State, and being a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. What were some of the lessons that you took from being on the yard and being a part of that brotherhood that really helped you as you went on into life?
It's different, man. I mean, the community aspect of it is what really got me, honestly. You really don't know how you're impacting the youth. Like, we have a program called Kappa Leaders. And these young cats really, they don't, I'm not going to say they don't know no better, but without guidance, the youth won't know better. And I'm really big on the youth because my thing is, I complain about them. I do. But I feel like I complain about them because I work with them. I'm trying to push them in a better direction. I'm trying to show them better. Being a noob, it's easy to see a young man and tell him, hey, man, you know, why are you sagging your pants? You know, carry yourself this way. Carry yourself that way. Perception is not always reality, but to the naked eye, to most people, what they see of you is what they think of you. So, you know, carry yourself as such. Another thing I can piggyback off is the brotherhood, the camaraderie, the networking, honestly, because at the end of the day, there's noobs all over the world, which is a beautiful ordeal. I spoke on not too long ago with you about acquiring my master's degree. And I have a brother that's reached out to me already. He's like, hey, man, you're in my field. Let me know what I can do to help you. These are things that go far beyond just, you know, what people see on TV as far as partying, getting girls, things of that sort. It's bigger than that.
Yes. I love that you said that it's bigger than that, because a lot of people think, like you say, they judge, they just see, you know, the Greek strolling and they see the parties, but they don't realize the community service that really takes place and the actual, you know, the brotherhood and the sisterhood that takes place within these Divine Nine organizations. And so it's so many different layers that go along with that. And so we put a picture up here. This is you when you were graduating. This is when you first graduated from Norfolk State. And what year was this?
Oh, no, this was recent, honestly. Okay. So the crazy part about it is, and I was trying to tell my mom, because my mom is so vocal. Even at 30, my mom is still trying to coach me. I tell her all the time, like, listen, lady, I think I got this life thing kind of figured out at this point. If I don't, you know, let me continue to guide. I mean, let me continue to drive. I'll be all right. Let me drive the boat, as Kodak would say. But she was like, well, you know, you just graduated with your master's. Are you going to do a photo shoot? Now, the thing, I didn't get to do a photo shoot when I graduated from Norfolk State. The process happened so fast for me. Like, everything came quickly. So my graduation was 12, 13, 14. I got on a plane the 15th, flew out to Dallas and started training for the combine. So these are opportunities in my mind. It's like, hey, you know, this is your second opportunity to take some type of, you know, grad photos, things of that sort, because these are things that your parents will enjoy, honestly. And when you get older, you'll probably look back and be like, hey, man, I'm glad I did that. Now, my mother was like, well, didn't you graduate from Liberty? My thing is, I'm going to always pay homage and respect to Norfolk State, because without Norfolk State, there would be no Liberty. So I came back here in order to take my grad photos on campus and just show how beautiful and how much progress, honestly, that's happened since we've actually left, because it doesn't look like the same campus that I was on when I was here.
But no, that's good. Their progress is always good. You know, it means that they're, you know, they're doing their thing there. And so I want to touch on too. Let's get into life after college, because you mentioned it happened so fast. You graduated one day, then the next day you were off. So walk us through the process of you, you know, I guess even getting that phone call and getting that opportunity to get to the NFL.
Well, crazily enough, let's just start my senior year, honestly. To touch on my junior year really quickly before I get into my senior year. My junior year was ridiculous. It was a year where literally my now wife got dressed every week after the season was over because I was accepting a new award for something on the field. So coming into my senior year, which, I mean, a lot of football players maybe don't speak about this, but with me, I speak about it openly because it's real. So going into my senior year, I kind of developed like a hint of anxiety, just being that I'm really tough on myself. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I'm like, well, that's not good enough. It's always, you know, what's next for me? And when I say I'm tough on myself, it's kind of hard because I'm also a perfectionist. So when I say anxiety had developed, going into my senior year, I started to worry myself. Like, hey, you know, I did this my junior year. My numbers were ridiculous. How am I going to top this? How am I going to do that? Everybody knows who I am now. So my senior year, I got into the whole seeing double teams every team that we played, which was kind of annoying, but also took it as a respect factor. After I graduated and left, I immediately got on a plane the next day after graduation, landed in Dallas at MJP. So I trained under the Michael Johnson, as he would tell people. For most of y'all that don't know who Michael Johnson is, 400-meter runner, wore the gold spikes on the track. He was the man, as he would say, to, you know, work on my 40 time, work on my speed, work on my angles, work on different drills before I get to the combine. And even with that, that was kind of nerve wracking, especially with the fact that, like, I'm a really confident dude. Always been, always will be. Mm-hmm. But being around, like, major D1 athletes was kind of different for me because it was like, yo, okay, well, the really, really, really nice facilities that's like, you know, $1.2 million to put together. I was like, oh, this is kind of crazy. They was like, oh, man, we had this man, we had this at such and such. So I really think that was the biggest difference between major D1 schools and HBCUs, honestly. Like, for HBCUs, now, like, everybody's just donating money like crazy. But in my mind, it's like, you know, if this happened earlier, a lot of HBCUs would be up there facility-wise with those major D1s. So after being in awe at these facilities, I'm like, oh, this is kind of crazy. My agent was like, hey, you got a combine invite. Because the combine invite wasn't really, it was up in the air. So I was thinking maybe, you know, I was going to have a pro day, da-da-da-da, but it was like, nah, they sent you an official combine invite. And then after the combine invite, a little later in December-ish, I got an invite from the Senior Bowl. So the Reese Senior Bowl is a all-star game with the top seniors in the nation. Doesn't matter FCS, FBS, just the top seniors in the nation. So I got to go against cats that were from Alabama, University of Florida, Tennessee, USC, anything you can name it. I was out there, you know, battling with these cats to showcase my skills. Different experience, really crazy. But for an HBCU product, the cat that wasn't supposed to be invited to anything, or as they deemed me, a small school guy, I showed up and showed out. Whenever I looked, there was a highlight of me. Hey, you know, who's this cat? You know, look what he can do, especially at my size. To put things in perspective, I was 6'7", 270 pounds, outside linebacker. So most people look at me and go, well, you're a defensive end or you're a D-tackle. But no, I was the cat out there wowing people because I can move for my size. So eventually we did that. The combine was over. I came back to Norfolk State for my pro day to sharpen up on a couple of things that I felt like I needed to improve on. And then it began. So my friends and family came up to Virginia, and here I was sitting in the living room, and it was kind of an eerie feeling because my phone kept ringing, and I kept thinking, like, oh, this is the call. But it's family members like, hey, man, you know, you can draft it. And I'm like, oh, my God. Do not. So I turned to my mom. I was like, please tell them, do not call my phone for the next 3 days unless it's an emergency. So my agents was telling me, hey, man, fourth or fifth round draft grade, da 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 da. So I sat there. Round two went by. Round three went by. Round four went by, and I was like, okay, well, maybe this is our time. Round five went by, and I was like, well, okay, well, maybe this is our time. Round six, and then round seven, and I was like, okay, what's going on? So Eventually my phone rang, and I had four different calls. One was from the Houston Texans. One was from the Miami Dolphins. One was from the Cincinnati Bengals, and one was from the Oakland Raiders. And At that point in time, I didn't know that you can actually be signed after the draft. Like, I figured maybe you went to a workout or something, and they was like, hey, we like this guy, let's sign him. But Jadeveon Clowney ended up tearing his ACL that year, and I got a call from Mike Vrabel, who was the linebackers coach at that point in time. He was like, hey, man, I would love for you to come to Houston and showcase your skills. Got that call, was ecstatic, did not know a signing bonus came with it. So that was beautiful. I was like, well, this is great. I mean, I still have an opportunity to play a child sport, because honestly, that's really what it is. Like, we're just grown men playing a child sport. I never took it for granted. I was grateful because in my mind, I don't have to go look for a job. Like, I can continue to play this child sport and get paid for it, which was beautiful.
Wow. And real quick, are you able to see me good?
Yeah, I can see perfectly fine.
Okay, you're a little bit frozen. Okay, I think maybe it's a little bit of a delay. Okay, that's cool. As long as you can see me, I can hear you. It was frozen on the screen a little bit, but okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, no, so that's good. So, okay, wait. So you had the process. You was a lot of, you know, anxiety going on. You were waiting, and then you said you got the call after. And you know, I'm not 100% sure how the whole draft thing works as far as when it comes to that. But you say you got drafted after they got.
So basically, there's a couple of rounds in where they draft people. The last pick is like 256. After that, they can sign additional players. So I was just blessed that a couple of teams was like, hey, we would like for you to come play for us. From there, you get an invite to minicamp. To minicamp. After minicamp, there's OTAs. After OTAs is rookie minicamp. So the rookies are coming first, and we'll kind of battle it out. Da 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 da. It's like a 3-day ordeal, and which I've seen guys get cut like the first day because they don't get the first installment. The first installment is supposed to be basic. It's easy. A baby's supposed to be able to learn it according to the coaches. And if you mess that up, it's like, hey, we don't think you can play here. So smart enough, fast enough, physical enough to play. So I made it past that, and then camp came. This is where it's grueling. You hate it. Makes you question whether football is actually for you or not. It's really, really hot. So imagine for all the people that's from Houston that's watching, you can only understand what it's like in the summertime. Mm-hmm. In Houston. It is hot, hot. Wow. And you're running around with all this gear on. You're sweaty. You're looking at other people like, why do we do this? But somehow, some way, you're out there doing your thing.
Right. Yeah. And it made it all worth it, I'm sure, too. You know, everything else. Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay. So you got drafted. So you made it to the NFL, got drafted into the NFL. And then what's the time frame year wise for people?
So basically, camp starts like around now, honestly. But if I know that the downside to camp was my wife's birthday is July 29th. We're all like any team I was with, our reporting date was like the 27th or the 28th. So I always had to leave like a day or two right before her birthday. So camp lasts somewhere about a month, maybe, because it's four preseason games. So after the first preseason game, and I'm not sure if it's changed since then, but I know you got like 120 people on your team. After the first preseason game, they cut down to 90 people. After the second preseason game, they cut down to, I think, 75. After the third preseason game, the third and fourth preseason game, they got to cut down to 53 for the active roster. I mean, for the main roster, and then they get an additional 10 for the practice squad. So it should be 63 people in total. So they have to work their way down from 120 people.
Wow.
All different walks of life and have the perfect 63 in their mind to carry with them.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. So that they start with a large number. So pretty much, so they have these 100 people who are like, okay, I got drafted to the team, right? But then they cut it down. So after each game, it gets cut. So then, wow.
Yeah. So I mean, my rookie year was kind of interesting. We actually had HBO Hard Knocks follow us around that year. So. I'm guessing because of my communications background, they immediately gravitated to me. And according to the producer, he was like, man, you have a pretty good persona. So we think we're going to run with that. We love your personality. We'd love for you to be mic'd up. And we would love for you to kind of anchor this show. So I was like, okay, cool. Because, Hard Knocks is usually about the rookies. I mean, yes, it's about the team itself, but it's more so about the rookies that's trying to make the team. And I was one of those guys that was on the bubble of, will he get cut? Will he make the team? And, I mean, it panned out for an interesting story, honestly.
And so, okay, so and you graduated in 2016. So this time frame that we're talking about was...
No, I left school in 2014.
2014, okay. Yeah. So your time, and how long were you in the NFL?
I retired in 18. 18 was my last year.
Okay, so post, after you left the NFL, and actually, before I get to that, because you brought up your wife, did you meet her in Norfolk State as well?
Yeah, so we actually met through a mutual friend here. So, beautiful thing, honestly, because she met me when I was just a broke college student. love her for that. She used to take some long drives just to get over here to Norfolk to make sure that I wasn't eating junk food because for those that's in the area or in the Carolinas, you know, cookout was my weakness.
Cookout is cool. I love cookout.
It used to be nice and cheap for a lot of stuff. So I used to go to cookout faithfully, either that or Burger King. And honestly, eventually she was like, look, I mean, I know you play ball. I know there's supposed to be some type of diet, some type of regimen you're supposed to live by. So I'm going to make sure you eat correctly. And trust me, she's been a blessing ever since. Because, Lord, like Drake said, man, you know, how you supposed to find one when anyone would come with you? I'm glad I met her before. I got a little change in my pocket, which means, you know, she wasn't there for that. Which
right,
is
exactly.
A blessing.
Mm-hmm. And you all have a beautiful family. I'll put this picture back up again of you and your three children. Yes, beautiful.
Thank you. I definitely appreciate it.
Yes, I love it. So once you left the NFL, you say you retired in 2018. So what has life been like for you since then?
I got to go back to my wife one more time, and I'm extremely thankful for her. My wife owns a hair shop here, so entrepreneur, businesswoman. She wouldn't sit down even if I told her to. She's just a born hustler. Like, that's all she knows. Probably be like that till the day she died, God forbid. But what I had to accredit her to is giving me the ability to explore, honestly. She let me follow my dreams. She let me chase my dreams for a good couple of years. Honestly, I felt like I didn't have any responsibilities because my wife was holding everything down. And then after I stopped playing ball, she let me do some more exploring. It was like, you know, what's next for you? What do you want to do? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? And eventually, I was like, man, I think I want to go back to school. And she was like, okay, cool. Mm. Any and everything I've done since I've stopped playing ball, my wife has supported it. If I told her I wanted to go mountain climbing,
look, Well, we should have had your wife on here then. We had her on. Hear her perspective on things. That's beautiful, though. But go ahead, go ahead.
But I've mainly been focused on giving back to the community, Kappa Leaguers, my fraternity, things of that sort, until I actually jumped into school. So I majored in criminal justice with a focus on homeland security. And I'm hoping that, you know, my concentration would lead me down working in the field of dealing with human trafficking, things of that sort. I just feel like I need to talk to the right people to get in the right place. And I feel like it'll be the Lord's will to take it from there.
You know, that's beautiful. And I love the fact that you credit your wife and the fact that she allowed you to pretty much just be you and, you know, do your thing in the league. And then after just really figure out not putting that pressure on you, but really just being that asset to say, look,
I mean, I'm grateful because I've seen other people like crumble. So I know my wife had a good head on her shoulders, and any opportunity I get to spoil her or do something special for her, trust me, because people know via Instagram, like, I showcase my wife at any given point in time. Just because, I mean, I'm blessed, honestly. I really don't know how I ended up with such a blessing, but God is good.
No, that's beautiful. I mean, you know, clearly, like, from listening to you, like, she's really been an asset. And then I think, you know, and that can really be a whole nother conversation, but when it comes to relationships, like, that's how it should be. Like, you know, she's been an asset to you, and it's not like she's just, you know, sitting around waiting on you to make it to the league. And she sit back. You said she wouldn't even sit down if you made her sit down. She's just, you know, she loves working and loves doing what she do. So, and just having somebody like that with you to help motivate you and push you, you know, it's a beautiful thing. So, yeah, I love it. So, as we're ready to wrap this thing up, what are some words that you want to say or give to the incoming HBCU students, even people who may be thinking about attending an HBCU, and specifically the athletes as well?
Honestly, which my mother doesn't like at all, but I tell her all the time, if I haven't learned anything at all from attending an HBCU, I've learned how to finesse. And then my mom, she thinks, you know, she takes finesse in a way like, oh, you're always looking for the easy way out. No, not in that sense. In my mind, I've been in some very difficult situations at the HBCU. And I've learned how to be calm, under control, and how to talk and actually, you know, get my point across in a room full of people that I probably shouldn't be in a room with to begin with. It's taught me how to be confident. I'll tell you that much. Honestly, Black people are some of the most confident people in the world. I don't care what walk of life you come from. You're going to meet somebody from somewhere that thinks they're like that dude or that chick. And I love it because, I mean, some people are going to go, well, oh my God, you know, they need to humble themselves. It's not that in a sense. That's not the kind of cockiness I'm talking about. Like, it's a confidence that certain people can't take away from you. When you enter as a freshman, I'd give you this much. Understand something that my mother has always told me. God gives you two ears and one mouth because he wants you to listen more than he wants you to talk. Especially when you're around upperclassmen, learn from other people's mistakes. See as twice as much as you say something about something. Listen, once again, twice as much as you talk about something. Really early, because I tweeted something not too long ago that kind of went semi-viral, but somebody said, you know, college was a scam. And I was like, you know, I don't feel like I got scammed. My thing is, when you go to college, network, talk to people, find out, like, gravitate to people that are doing good. I mean, the parties are going to always be there, especially as a freshman. I understand. You out on your own. You couldn't wait to get out your mom's and pop's house. You about to do your thing. I feel that. That's cool. That's fine. But focus on your work first. Don't be that cat that's waiting until 11:50 to be trying to submit something on Blackboard. All right?
Like, okay.
Get it done early. Wait, but now, unless you're a procrastinator like me, because I work great under pressure. So I.
Me I too. I to be honest, yeah.
Now, if that works for you, because I know it works for me. I've had those nights up 3 a.m. My wife is looking at me crazy, like, "You okay, baby?" Yeah, I'm just typing up the paper.
That's due in 2 hours. And I had for a month, and I just started on. Yeah.
But all jokes aside, incoming freshman, this is for you. Please focus on your studies, because just like trouble is easy to get into and hard to get out of. Your GPA is easy to slip, but very hard to get back up, especially when you have to repeat classes. And if you're not on a scholarship academically, or if you're not on a scholarship athletically, you don't want to be wasting your parents' money, or you don't want to be taking too much money from Sallie Mae, because at the end of the day, Sallie Mae can always get their money. So,
man.
But to the athletes that are inspired by former athletes, past athletes, that's paved the way, that's done the work, look to them. Honestly, I'm one of those cats that a lot of guys that currently play at Norfolk State write on Instagram, things of that sort. I respond because in my mind, I've been you before. You know, when Don Carey is a former player that played at Norfolk State, that played 9 seasons in the league. And I remember writing him when I was at Norfolk State, like, "Hey, you know, what did you do differently?" It was great that he responded, because in my mind it's like, this is somebody I look up to. Like, the fact that you took the time out of your busy schedule, because I'm quite sure he was still playing in the league at that time, to write me back and say, "Hey, man, you know, these are the routines that I went through. This is how I did it." That was a blessing to me. So why not be a blessing to somebody else?
Mm. And, you know, I was going to ask, do you all have some type of like for the HBCU graduates who are in the NFL, do you all have like some type of inside brotherhood with you all?
There is definitely, I mean, we don't have like a group chat or nothing, but there's that camaraderie, like, bruh, like, we made it ordeal, because, I mean, I remember playing against the Bears, and I ran into Tariq after the game, and I was like, "Yo, what's up, man?" He was like, "Yo, big bro." The thing is, you might not even know the cat personally, but he's heard your name. He's seen your name. He knows where you're from. He knows, "Hey, man, we both from the MEAC." Especially if you're from the same conference. It's definitely all love when you see each other.
Yeah. I would love to see, like, I think that would be a dope, like, little talk show. Like, all the, you know, the HBCU graduate football players just kind of link up and do a little something. That'd be dope.
That'd definitely be something to look into.
Gave myself an idea. But no, so that's been great. So is there anything else before we get ready to get out of here? Anything else you want to
say? If I leave you guys with anything, I will leave you with this. My mother's my light. I don't tell her all the time, because, Lord, if I give her enough credit, she won't leave me alone about it. But there's two things I'm going to leave you with. The first is a Bible verse. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1:7. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." That's a scripture that my mom gave me when I first started playing football. And I read an article about this tackle I was supposed to be going up against, and how he was a 5-star recruit, and, you know, how this was going to be my big matchup to prove myself in high school. Ended up dominating the dude, by the way. But and another quote that she's left with me is, "It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice." People will not always remember what you said, but they will always remember how you made them feel. So take the time out to make somebody feel special. Don't be a butt about it. It's always nice to be humble.
Yes. No, that's so true. They'll forget, forget what you said, but they'll remember how you made them feel. I like that. All right, well, this has been good. Before we go, so I definitely want to give a shout out to Positivity Water. It's one of our sponsors here. It's a Black-owned alkaline water company. So
hey, if you
need some water yourself, one, and definitely hit them up. Positivity Water on Instagram and website and everything. But definitely stay connected with you here, Historically Black Sense. And yeah, this has been good. We will talk.
Well, definitely appreciate you guys having me on. Appreciate everybody tuning in.
All right.